Now, when was the last time you fell over a bit of street furniture, or did you walk into a parked vehicle? Might sound comical, but it's most frustrating if you're living with a visual impairment. And Paul Quigley, he's a white cane warrior, aren't you?
I certainly am, Simon. Absolutely am.
Yeah. And modest with it.
Well, you know, you have to be, because those sticks double as kendo sticks, so people have to be careful. They don't know that we're also trained in martial arts.
What? Right, now, sometimes when you walk into street furniture, though, that can make you wish you knew martial arts.
Well, it certainly can, particularly when it comes to near where I live on the outskirts of Greater Manchester. You tend to learn, with white cane training, you tend to learn certain routes very well. You have to, for not only just practical reasons of getting from A to B, but also, you know, you learn where all the obstacles are. Now, with white cane training, as anyone who's had that training listening to NIB radio knows, the great thing about why it works as a method of mobility for people with VI or blind is that you actually are constantly mapping the ground with the tip of the stick. That's what you're doing. You're moving from left to right, and you're stepping into the space that you've just checked with the stick. So if you move the stick to the left, you then swipe over to the right, having cleared the space in the left, so that you can then place your left foot. And of course, you end up sort of moving at a sort of a normal walking pace. But what this means is that any object that isn't at ground level, in other words, on the pavement level, you assume, and this is the assumption, that is clear also, which means from, if you're 6 foot tall, as I am, that there's airspace, clear airspace with no turbulence, all the way up to 6 feet. Well, this is where sadly the white stick is method fails, because it doesn't take account of that. You can't press in front of you to see any other object that isn't at absolute floor level, whether that's a car tire or a lamppost or somebody else's foot, etc., etc. Now, what happened to me about 3 weeks ago on the way to my regular routine is that one of the lampposts that is on one of the side streets that I have to go zigzag around to get to the gym and back, had been knocked over at about 45 degree angle. And this thing is about three inch thick solid steel lamppost, basically, with a sort of a cycling sign or whatever it was on the top of it. I have no idea. But it wasn't perpendicular to the ground. It wasn't 90 degrees to the ground anymore. In other words, the white stick would come across, hit the bottom of the metal pole, and then you'd know, right, you know, keep out of its way. But when it's actually tilted over at 45 degrees, you don't know that. You can't know that. And if a truck has taken that corner, and they do, I've seen distribution trucks, not I haven't seen them, but one of these huge, great articulated lorries take these corners, and they can't get round them, obviously, because they're about, you know, 40 foot long trucks, and they bend over street furniture, and they don't stop, they just carry on. So anyway, long story short, this post was right over at 45 degrees. I cleared the ground with my stick, saying, yeah, clear to go, as you're going along, you know, moving along at sort of 3-5 miles an hour. And I smacked my face right into this metal bar, right at chin fat. I mean, it was completely, well, fortunately, I wasn't going at full-on speed, but it could easily have done. And I had a nice big break, great big bruise on my forehead. Now, I also wear, as a lot of people tend to do with VI, a peaked cap for this very reason, because you get a split-second warning if you've got a peak on your cap that you have, you know, hit a... Normally, it's branches of a tree. Normally, it's tree branches, overhanging branches, people's gardens and things. They haven't cut the trees back. And that's not too bad, because there's some give in leaves and branches. There is some gear. You get scratched, but you don't end up, like, it's not like a solid object and you're going at 3 miles an hour. Whereas I did, and I smacked myself. I thought, no, I can't accept. And I carried on to the gym. Fortunately, it didn't concuss me, but it certainly made me very cross that when I felt what would happen with my hand, I put my hand up and I could feel exactly what had happened, that this lamppost was no longer straight up and down. It was tilted right over, right into the pathway. So I rang the council, as you do, and reported it to them. This is about 3 or 4 weeks ago now. And they said, we'll get someone out, blah, blah, blah. That's what they said. Anyway, long story short, again, just day before yesterday, back down the gym, peeing down with rain, and I copped for it again. Same lamppost, because it was grey, very, very grey, very, you know, there was no light perception at all. So there I was scraping, assuming that this thing had been put back in its position, so I wasn't thinking any problems. And this time I got myself the other side of the face, right in the left cheekbone, bang, right into it. And again, you know, it hadn't been for a little pea cap, it could have been bleeding. But I mean, this is the thing that I mean, what then happens, of course, is that by not putting these things correct, councils predominantly who are responsible for this sort of external environment, you're actually putting people into wheelchairs, because if that had been at knee height, like a bollard or something, and tilted over, you put them then in injuring their knees and their ankles and feet, etc. And then you're putting them into wheelchairs and they can't have any mobility or independence whatsoever. So it is a serious issue. So I'm at the moment thinking, do I actually take this, you know, escalate it up and go to the GP and say, look, you know, here's a yet another injury on my head due to this, and go for an insurance claim? Is that the only thing that's going to get these people at councils to act? Or do I do the softly, softly approach and ring them back and just say, look, I did report this 3-4 weeks ago. It's still there. You know, it's one of them. And it's like, obviously, it's not deliberate. It's just one of them things. But nevertheless, when it is pointed out to a council, they should act. There should be some sort of priority, because it is discrimination. In my view, that is discriminating against a VI or a disabled person's right to use that pavement, as everyone else sighted and capable can do. And that really, you know, is horrible. I mean, there's lots of other things as well, as you quite rightly say, parked cars. But they're also an issue for ladies with prams or people with motability scooters and scooters, etc. They can't get around parked cars, so they should never be up. I believe, Simon, from what you said to me before the show, that Edinburgh has a campaign going. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What's that sounds good.
Yeah, on IBE Scotland have been liaising, yeah. And there's been campaigning going on, and there's been quite a lot of success, and it's been quite favourably received, you know, to even look at this and have a go at it by removing some of the street furniture, etc. And I think it's awareness as well. Some things you think, well, you know, there's maybe not a way around that sometimes. When you live in busy streets now that were never designed to have this many cars, that causes a problem. One gets me, there's a van that parks sometimes near here on the supermarket car park, and it reverses its back wheels right up against the curve. It has a long overhang at the back. You have to go on the grass. And I'm not a white cane user. So if there's a white cane user, I think a couple of my colleagues got caught out with it the other week there, and you have to go on the grass, but you're hit with this wall of metal, which you think is, what is this? So, yes. You know, and a lot of it is, really is, I don't think a lot of it's selfishness, it's just a complete ignorance of things, you know?
Yes. You've suddenly reminded me of one, actually. Last winter, I was going on a different route to my local gym, different gym, but in the same town, different one. And there was the roadworks. They'd put road, and they dug up all the pavement along a whole stretch of main road, and they hadn't provided a pedestrian walkway alongside it. I couldn't believe it. And therefore, you were forced into the gutter. You were forced into the street, and you had to walk along the double yellow lines, what it was, down this sort of A road. And I couldn't believe it. And there were workmen working on the other side, and they could clearly see that I was struggling to sort of get out into the road and literally against, you know, walking against oncoming traffic to get, but there was no other method to get down that street. And the council, you would have thought, well, geez, you know, why the hell didn't they think, well, hold on, we can't just take this entire, whether it's for cabling or something, road up and the whole pavement's out of action, and then expect people with prams, with motability scooters, with white canes, or just sighted people were still having to step into the road, and local councils aren't doing it. And of course, people might say, oh, it's cutbacks. Well, where does health and safety stop, and where does cutbacks and austerity begin? I mean, it's a ridiculous situation, but from what you're saying, if Edinburgh are taking it seriously, and hopefully that'll find its way south of the border, because it's certainly, so far as I'm aware, I haven't done that much research on it, obviously, but it needs to be looked at. This needs to be a priority, because somebody's going to either get killed, severely injured, or there's going to be a rise in insurance claims. There probably are quite a few already, but it isn't great, and it does need to be looked at.
I fell over an A-board outside an optician's once, which was quite funny.
Oh, that's... Oh, good, you couldn't make it up, could you?
Yeah. The thing is, if you're sitting at home and you would like to get in touch with RNIB, do check out RNIB Play Your Part and check out RNIB Quick Polls, because in amongst all that, you will find a place where you can put message boards and you can put up your feelings about this, because I'm sure a lot of you will have feelings about this. And, you know, sometimes you used to say these things go with the territory, but there's some things that you think, well, okay, it was one of these things. There's other things you think people are just not taking care of details here.
Absolutely. Well, it's all part of the equalities, isn't it? It's equal access to everything, and that includes a pavement as much as the right to be served in a, you know, or have a wheelchair access to shop, you know, shops and banks and what have you. That's an equal access right. Equalities means total level playing field for all. It's not rocket science, is it? It's just a bit of forethought, and it's not that much expenditure. It's just efficient businesses. I mean, if you've got councils who've got lampposts bent over, They should be, that should be prioritized. I mean, it should be right up there with emptying bins. I mean, that's a health issue, isn't it? I mean, if you leave black bin liners, people would say, well, why is that an issue? It's because it's a health issue, because you have the rats in there if they don't clear them. Well, it's okay. You ain't gonna have rats around with bent over street furniture. You're gonna have your A&E people say, well, how you ended up here, Mr. Jones? Well, I've smacked my face into a lamppost again, you know, whichever count. I mean, it's wasting NHS time and money if you look at it in that respect, isn't it? And that should have been done just by maintenance of street furniture. But yeah, it is a problem. And yeah, as you say, if people want to get in touch with RNIB Connect Radio and talk about what their experience is, maybe we can build the campaign from here across the you know, all of the nation rather than just Edinburgh, maybe. Simon, what do you think?
Please do get in touch. And the other thing I wanted to do is, if you want to get in touch with Paul directly as well, you have Facebook pages, don't you?
I do. facebook.com/PaulQuigleyUK. All one word. And on Twitter, it's Hellsbell, spelled HELLSBELLES. I'll start that again. HELLSBELLES _UK. That's me on Twitter.
And Paul, you can't be hitting that beautiful face of yours like this. You know, I mean, that's going to be your money earner soon.
Oh, darling, what can I possibly say to that?
I'm just thinking about album covers. That's another story for another day. Paul's recording an album at the moment, and you may remember Paul Quigley from Hell's Bells from way past, but we will talk about that another day.
I love you too, Simon.